Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program heard weekdays on 18 radio stations with 27 signals all across the Treasure State. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook at Voices of Montana and on the internet at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
Yeah, that's so Montana. You kind of start something, and then before you know it, it's become one of the West's best, so to speak. That's the Red Ants Pants Festival, White Sulphur Springs. Coming in late July, folks are happily making plans now. Founder of that festival and the Red Ants Pants clothing company that got it all started, Sarah Calhoun, joining us today. We'll talk about the music and that unique connection that festival has to so many Montanans. Also, going to hear from one of the festival headliners, Jeffrey Foucault, is going to be joining us. We'll talk about what the Red Ants Pants Festival means to artists and hear a bit of his new album, at least the title release of his new album, Universal Fire. It's going to be a great way to start your weekend, the Red Ants Pants Fest, here on Voices of Montana. And a pretty fun show here lined up. I didn't mention Laura Nolan. She's going to be joining us a bit later on from Win It Aces, one of those organizations. Well, they're doing just a ton of stuff, but it's one of those organizations that the Red Ants Pants Foundation is supporting, and they've done a ton. I think it's like over $150,000 in pretty much small donations to a lot of Montana communities. We'll talk about that, but first it's the music, and we'll welcome Sarah Calhoun. Sarah, founder of Red Ants Pants, the foundation, the festival, and the company that got it going. How you doing, Sarah?
I am well this morning. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you for being here. We'll talk about something we all love to hear about. And then Jeffrey Foucault is with us. He's one of the main stage performers and got a new album out, Universal Fire. All right, it's going to be released soon, right, Jeffrey?
That's correct, yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being here. Yeah, I appreciate that. Sarah, I'm just going to have you, as we get started here. So Jeffrey's going to be with us just for a few minutes. So we're going to focus there on how the artists approach the Red Ants Pants Festival. But why don't you talk about Jeffrey Foucault? I know he's been featured on your Back Pastor series, which is a great series, and your website's really, really super, Sarah.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, we have been very excited and honored to have Jeffrey come and play two or three times now, I think, over the years. So he's become one of our family for sure, as far as musicians that grace our stage, and phenomenal talent, as you all know, out there. And we're excited to welcome him back again this year.
And Jeffrey, what does playing the festival mean to you?
You know, it's really one of the best run and best curated festivals that I've had a chance to play around the country or even overseas. You know, we go over with the band and we'll do festivals in Europe, and then we'll play a few stateside. And the truth is, I don't generally love to go play festivals except this one. And the reason is everything pretty much works. It's in a wide open place. The volunteers are hugely competent. They all know what they're doing. I mean, generally speaking, I would say it's like a half and half. You get to a festival and nobody can answer your question. And that question could be like, where do I park the car, to where is the main stage? You almost always get, I'm not sure. And then someone asks you if you have like a laminate or a lanyard or, you know. It's not that way. You get to Red Ants and they just have this beautiful lineup of really well thought out, carefully chosen music, and it's a really community-oriented feeling thing. So you get there, and there's, you know, it feels very much like of the place itself, that part of the world. And so we always have a great time. It sounds good, it feels good, and so it is good.
Yeah, and Sarah, I know it takes a lot of work, but it's as simple as that, right? Make it sound good, make it feel good, and it'll be good.
Mm-hmm. That's a good tagline. We should use that. Let's make a bumper sticker.
But how do you?
Yeah, it is a lot of work, a lot of logistics, and it's actually, and the crowd notices this too, that it actually is run by women, which we are just apparently pretty good at paying attention to details and good hospitality and making sure it's a welcoming crowd.
I will swear to that. Okay. And so that's good news. And you know, 2011. Did it take you a little while to kind of get the festival rolling?
It did. When we started back in 2011, honestly, didn't have any business being in event production, and that was a new foray and lots of new skills, and amazingly, we pulled it off. We had 6,000 fans attend that first year, and we or the community did not know what to expect, but we've been growing ever since and actually gotten to a point where we've capped attendance at 15,000 to make sure it's a really curating a better experience, not a bigger experience for the crowd. So we have under 5,000 people per day on site, so it's not crowded, super kid-friendly, and we really try to make it a good neighborly experience for all.
Yeah, and very successful in that regard, too. And again, thanks to all the volunteers that do it. We're going to talk about your music a little bit, Jeffrey. What can people expect when they see you on stage?
They can expect us to be fantastic. It's a really beautiful band. I've got Butte, Montana resident Eric Haywood playing pedal steel, one of the great pedal steel players in the world, truthfully. And Eric Koskinen from Minnesota is going to play electric guitar. And about halfway through the set, I'm going to turn the band over to him, and he's going to front the band. He has a great new record. He's a really wonderful songwriter and somebody that I've really been a fan of for a long time, and I wanted to make sure he got a little time where he could poleaxe the people of Montana with his great songs. So we'll back him up for a minute, and then on the drums we've got John Convertino from the band Calexico, who played on the new record and has been touring with us. And then on the bass, a guy named Jeremy Moses Curtis, who is a fantastic musician. He used to play in Booker T's band. So it's a lineup of heavy hitters, and we'll play a bunch of stuff from the new record that's coming out in September that you're talking about, the Universal Fire. And then we'll play probably some old songs, too.
I find it rather unique because not too many headline performers are going to say, "Hey, here's a guy from the back of my band," so to speak. And I know you don't feel that way, that he's from the back of the band. But I find that unique. In fact, I don't know if I should share the story, but I was at a Ted Nugent concert years and years ago. And he had a great second guitar player. And Ted, firmly admitted that I'm never going to let him play on stage in front of me. But talk about that bond that you guys must share then because of that.
Yeah, I think good work is good work no matter where you come across it. And I met Eric years ago. He opened for our band in Milwaukee, and I remember hearing him from the green room and walking out and just watching his whole set from the side stage. And, I try to make a point of listening to whoever's on the bill, but I generally don't stay for the whole thing with my jaw on the floor, and he was just so good. And he's one of those guys that he plays around Minnesota, and everybody in Minnesota knows him, and most of the bands in Minnesota, if you go into a bar, they're going to play at least one of his tunes because he has just a pile of great songs. So he's been sort of a regional artist for the last, 5 or 10 years, in a time where nobody really tries that hard to be a regional artist anymore, right? Like, the flat landscape of the internet makes it so that everybody's trying to be very thinly famous everywhere. Mm-hmm. But he goes out and he plays the county fair and the VFW hall and all these places, and he's just a really lights out musician and a cool songwriter. So I felt really strongly it was a great opportunity to get him in front of what I think is really one of the best crowds to get in front of. When you're playing at Red Ants, you're able to hit people from all over Montana, and if that means he can come back and play the filling station in Bozeman or the Top Hat in Missoula or any of the really great clubs around the state of Montana, I think that's a win for everybody.
Again, Jeffrey Folcalt is with us, a main stage performer, a new album coming out in September. We're going to play a little bit of that as we kind of go to break here. Still got a few minutes. And Sarah Calhoun is with us. We're talking about the Red Ants Pants Festival, the foundation, and then, of course, the company. We'll get to that here in just a bit. Jeffrey, what's it take to be a performer nowadays? Is it you talked about the flat level, I guess, of the internet, the flat demographics of it, but what does it take to be a performer nowadays?
It's like being a farmer. It takes outside money or a love of pain, you know. Like, it's not easy to make it work. And like the economy generally, you got a lot of people who are doing poorly and a very few people who are doing well. And there's not a whole lot in the middle, right? Before the internet and before digital music, the music industry employed hundreds of thousands of people around the country, from production of vinyl and cassette and compact disc up to, you know, delivery, retail, A&R, record labels, all these places. And now, you know, probably the streaming companies that we all use to listen to music for almost free, you know, there's a good chance they spend more money air conditioning their servers than they do paying their staff. So... Yeah. There's this, there's a real drought in terms of people's ability to do it. I think if you go on Instagram and you look at any musician, they're just reporting like an endless string of victories, you know, rock and roll, mythos, and beautiful sunsets and good shoes and stuff. But the truth is most people are out there just getting killed. Yeah. And so it's hard to be out on the road. It's hard to keep it rolling. And you have to just rely on... love of doing it in the first place, and the love of all the people that are part of your community that, you know, feel like they have some stake in the songs that you're writing and the records that you're making. And then you have to be able to rely on places like the festival where you can go and feel totally part of a community and have the opportunity to play for a bunch of people and make new friends, you know.
Yeah, I very much appreciate that. Sarah, did you want to add anything here?
Yeah, I echo that, and it truly is an honor to be able to work with artists like Jeffrey to be able to showcase their talent and bring new fans to their world, and it really is a community, and that's important stuff these days, for sure.
Sunday afternoon performer, 1:30 on the main stage, along with your buddy Eric. I want to ask you, because we're going to play a little bit of this. You've got the title track that's out there, and it's Jeffrey Foucault, Foucault. You can just do any search, and you'll find him on that. And go ahead, and we'll play a little bit of that, Cody, underneath. And Jeffrey, talk about this song, or talk about what it is you try to touch as a songwriter.
Well, you know, I mean, it's only interesting to write songs if they're about things that other people have ever experienced. So if your life was reduced to a straight line between the hotel and the rental car and the green room and the stage, and then you just repeat that every day, you kind of run out of things to write about that are, you know, useful or interesting to anybody. So, you know, from my perspective, I just try to live like a normal person as much as possible, and then put as much of my life as possible into the stuff that I'm writing. I think, you know, people that I know have played the festival, like my friend Greg Brown from Iowa is a great example of somebody who, or Lucinda Williams, you know, these are people that have managed to put the fabric of their life pretty seamlessly into not just, you know, a song or two, but really this body of work that covers, you know, a whole life, from being a young person to being an old person. I think that's what's interesting to me, and I think when I follow somebody like Lucinda or John Prine or Greg Brown or Bob Dylan, that arc is as interesting to me as any given song, right? I'm trying to learn what it means to be alive, and that's the thing that we use art for in a general sense. So this song, The Universal Fire, is actually it's about a giant fire that happened at the Universal Studios lot in L.A. back in 2008, and it burned up the master recordings of a bunch of real important American music, everything from Chess Records, you know, stuff like Billie Holiday, you know, and it got me thinking about what a master recording represents in terms of artifact and what it means to try to make something that lasts. I didn't try to answer any questions. I just sort of, I tried to ask as many questions as I could. And so the song is sort of it's not quite a lament. It's too rock and roll for a lament, I guess. But it's, you know, if that was my religion, the thing that I grew up with, you know, pulling songs out of the air into the radio and having my ear against the speaker, and that was everything that I believed in and everything that I wanted to be. When that feels like it's gone, either on a physical artifact level or on the level of culture, more importantly, the question is, you know, where are you going to go? And how are you going to keep the wheel turning, keep the culture vital? And, you know, for us, the answer to that question, obviously, is to sit down, plug in, and play rock and roll music.
Nice. I appreciate that so much. I'm, you know, I'm a bit of a musician myself, so I can relate to that. I think a lot of people can, how music keeps it real for us. And we need to have that one-on-one with our artists, so to speak, so we can relate in new ways. You're playing at Monk's Bar, Missoula, in September. I think you've got the Wilma Theater. That'll be a good a venue as well, Live from the Divide in Bozeman, Montana. So look for that as you're out there touring with your new album, Universal Fire. That's Jeffrey Foucault. Hey, Jeffrey, thank you so much for being alongside here. We're going to play let your song play out here this final minute. And Sarah, come on back with more. We've got more to share here about the festival. So, Jeffrey, break a leg up there, okay?
All right. Thanks so much for having me on, and thanks, Sarah, for bringing the band back. And I wish you guys good luck with the rest of your conversation.
All right. Thank you.
It was Lady Day and Muddy and Coltrane. A little Walter and Rosetta and Ray. There was a time when it seemed we might all be redeemed. But then one night, it all burned.
Starts July 25th, the Red Ants Pants Festival. What a lineup of folk here. We'll talk about that. Sarah Calhoun is with us. She is the executive director, of the Red Ants Pants Foundation, but founder of all this, really. She produces the festival and, of course, owner of Red Ants Pants. We'll catch up to date on that. All the music that we're playing on for our re-entries for the show are actually from either people on the main stage or people on the side stage as well. How many, and Sarah, think, and that was Eric Koskinen, by the way, who's going to be performing with his bandmate Jeffrey Foucault on the main stage on Sunday. Hey, Sarah, I mean, I look at your lineup, and again, I am just so impressed with your website. There's a lot of stuff on it, great music. You put a playlist together that people can download of all the artists who are going to be appearing here. That's a ton of work as well. But you guys really connect us to the music community in Montana. Talk about, you know, how you manage to get such great headliners here and fill up also a side stage at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the side stage is really fun. We have folks that actually apply for that spot, and that is for kind of emerging artists that are able to play a 30-minute slot between the main stage turnover. So we have about, I think, 14 bands on the side stage, and they're all from all over the country. They actually come in, and they are competing for kind of a crowd vote. They all get to, everyone gets to vote for their favorite band, and the winner of that contest gets to open the main stage the following year. So this year, kicking things off, is Abby Webster out of Livingston. She was the huge favorite last year and really tore things up on the side stage. So that's kind of a fun way to celebrate the up and coming artists. And then we have 16 different bands on our main stage, nationally and internationally touring artists that we're very excited to have come play for us.
You know, there's another thing I want to talk about here that you're doing as well as part of the Red Ants Pants Festival and Foundation is Live from the Back Pasture on your website and then on YouTube. Talk about how you've got artists that come in. In fact, I've got something here from Ned Ledoux, which was Live from the Back Pasture. Did a really good job. That's got to be a ton of fun as well. What is that program about?
Yeah, so that's just a little add-on we do since all these folks are coming in, and we have a fantastic professional video crew on staff. So we just literally drive down the road to a buddy's pasture and set up this this film set, basically just in the grass by an old shed, really. And they get to perform one song, and then we put a video together and release this whole video series on YouTube and on the channels. And it's a great way for the artists to get more professional video out there. And it's just a nice addition.
And they're well done. I mean, the sound sounds very professional on these live recordings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Nick Davis and 408 Productions, they do all the film work, and they just got 3 Emmys for that video production this year for the Live from the Back Pasture. So that was great to see.
Yeah, I would point folks to that if they appreciate music and that kind of music. You know, Sarah, one of the things I think that people appreciate about the festival is that you mix in values, those Montana values in every way I think that you can in the festival.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that. Talk
Absolutely.
About doing that.
Yeah, that's really important to us. Like, if we're not leading with values, then I don't know why we'd be putting this much work into it. So we, you know, our tagline for the festival is to come connect with good folks and celebrate rural Montana. And it's really important for us to be our genuine selves in White Sulphur here in a traditional ranching community. And we're very ag forward. Obviously, the festival is on a working cattle ranch and on the Jackson Place. And we just try to open our doors and our community to folks to come in and experience it. And I think people are recognizing that and certainly coming back because of that. And we have some very loyal fans that have been coming since year one from all over Montana and beyond. We're in our 13th year now, and we certainly pay attention to try to make it comfortable and hospitable and neighborly, and everyone is welcome. We want to make sure of that for sure. Kids 12 and under are free, so we encourage it as a very family-friendly event, and it's been working, I think. I will say that. It's been working, and people get that, and, you know, it does take a lot of hard work, and that is something that we're good at in these parts. As you know, in rural Montana, we certainly know how to work hard, but also trying to make some time to take a break and come together and celebrate and connect.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that here shortly, the grant program, and then as you, you know, highlight those values, Women in Ag program, you've got a Girls in Leadership program I want to get to here in just a bit. I've got a minute and a half in this segment. Talk about the lineup a little bit here. What are you excited about? Lucas Nelson, The Devil Makes Three, you got Los Lobos, Drew Holcomb. Again, and that list goes on. Buffalo Nichols.
Yeah, it's a great lineup, and it's really fun to be able to book it because it's a bit of a puzzle trying to get all the diversity and different types of music and obviously working within a budget, but also you want to draw people in, but you also want to be able to bring bands to Montana that maybe introducing some new music, and that's where I think we really excel. We certainly have the big names, and we're so excited for Lucas Nelson to headline this on Sunday afternoon. He's Willie's son, as you know, and just a fantastic human in addition to being a really, really well-achieved musician out there. So he'll be Sunday right after Sarah DeRose, another like multiple Grammy winner. She's just a virtuoso out there. And Friday night we'll kick it off. Devil Makes Three will be headlining Friday after Drew Holcomb, Katie Tunstall, classic Scottish rocker coming over. She's super fun. And then Saturday, of course, Los Lobos. They are just legendary and still at it.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Big Richard, too. We're listening to a little bit of them right now as we head to break. Sarah Calhoun will continue with us, and Laura Nolan will join us next to have our fun in the West here. One of the best festivals. Honestly, it's become one of the best. It's in White Sulphur Springs, the Red Ants Pants Festival. We're with Sarah Calhoun. She is the producer of the festival, the executive director of the Red Ants Pants Foundation, and owner of Red Ants Pants. That's a clothing company. And Sarah, thanks for being here. Laura Nolan is with us as well. And Laura Nolan, executive director of ACES, Win at ACES. And we'll talk about that program. It's one of those organizations that receives grant funding from the foundation. But Sarah, sometimes I forget that this all started with a pants company, and you being a working woman, not very happy with the way some of those working clothes fit you.
Yes, exactly. That's how it all started back in 2006. Open the doors to Ready Ants Pants, workwear for women. Everything's made in America. And there really at that time was not any product on the market that was designed for women. So it was a lot of men's Carhartts that we were squeezing into and not fitting or functioning quite right. So decided to do something about it and decided to base here in White Sulphur Springs. And we've been rolling along for almost 19 years now, which is hard to believe.
And it's tough, you know, being in business and keeping a business going is tough. How's the company now? I mean, you got it's more than just pants, I presume, nowadays.
Oh yeah, lots of tops and hoodies and wool vests and belts and hats and all the good things. And we actually just hired a CEO to come in and bring in some new leadership and enthusiasm, because I am quite at capacity running the festival and the foundation. And so Steph Cole is joining our team, and we're very excited to have her on board. And so we're going to do a big new product relaunch next summer, and got a bunch of new products coming out in time for the festival this summer as well.
Oh, cool. Well, yeah. I wondered, you know, because the hats that you wear, they're not just like, you know, Wednesday hats or Thursday hats. They're the owner, you know, Red Ants Pants, the foundation, you're running the festival. Those are pretty big hats. And let's talk about what the foundation does. As we introduce Laura Nolan once again from Win It Aces. Sarah, the foundation, you talk about what it does.
Yeah. So when I started the festival back in 2011, decided to also start a nonprofit, which similarly did not have any experience running, but we went for it. And it is in support of women's leadership, working family farms and ranches, and enriching rural communities. So that's kind of our cornerstone for all the work we're doing. And the festival acts as our biggest program, certainly, but also a fundraiser for our other programs, which include our grant cycle, which I'll get to in a minute when we talk about Laura here. But we do chainsaw and carpentry classes for women, as well as trailer backing we've just started, which is a huge hit. We have another one of those coming up this weekend. Then we have a girls leadership program for junior year high school girls from across Montana. It's a year-long program to pair them up with a young professional mentor, and they do a community project to really instill some hope and pride in our rural communities and strength and courage in our leadership. And we're actually going to have an Eastern Montana pilot next spring, probably in May, for sophomore high schoolers, for girls, for this leadership program. So stay tuned for that, coming soon next spring. And then our newest program is our Women in Ag Wellbeing Retreats. We're seeing the need to really touch on some of these skills of resilience and how do we connect folks. We tend to be so isolated in our rural communities across the state, especially as ag producers. So we're bringing folks together here to White Sulphur to hang out in the old historic Ringling Mansion, which happens to be my home as well. And we gather up and work with some great facilitators and do a lot of writing and try to build up our toolboxes for how to deal with life a little easier. So that's been a fun one. And then, of course, our grant cycle. So the festival does directly support all of these programs I just mentioned, as well as fund our grant cycle, which we've, at the end of this summer, we will have awarded over $190,000 to different organizations and projects across the state whose work kind of parallels our mission. And Win It Aces is certainly exactly all of those things.
They are exactly all of those things. Laura Nolan is executive director there. Laura, talk about what Aces does. And now we've chatted with you. It's been a while, I think. I think you guys are kind of leading the way in revitalizing rural development and getting out of the box and doing that as well. So welcome back to the program. I hope you're well. Talk about Win It Aces and then the connection that you guys have with Red Ants Pants Festival. How does that help you?
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on. Yeah. Win It Aces is busy with a lot of things. So Aces stands for Agricultural Community Enhancement and Sustainability. And we started working on projects in 2017, all volunteers, and have just grown from that. We have 5 staff now, 3 full-time staff and 2 part-time staff. And most of what we work on is on our agriculture side of our mission. And we support producers in doing infrastructure projects on their property for the benefit of
wildlife and grasslands and agriculture. And so we have staff dedicated to that. We sub-grant funds to private property owners for that. And that was really what we got started with and what is ongoing. And then recently we've been focusing more on the community enhancement side of our mission. And we have lots of projects that are exciting that fit in that. We are the fiscal sponsor for the Sweet Peas Daycare in Winnett, which is really exciting. It's been open for a little over a year now. It's the only daycare in Winnett. And then we do a lot of community development projects, and that's where our funding from Red Ants Pants has been really helpful. And it's harder to find funding for community development projects, especially in rural areas. So the funding from Red Ants Pants has been really just motivating and then triggered a lot of other work. So the first funding we got from them was to work with property owners in Winnett, in downtown Winnett, which, you know, is not a real big area, but we were able to hire an architect to work with property owners to look at either their existing buildings or their empty lots and think about what they wanted to do with their property and put together just some preliminary designs that helped them then go further steps to develop their properties on Main Street. And we were, when Aces was one of those property owners, we own a building on Main Street that we are revitalizing, a two-story historic building. And we actually moved from the site of where the new community center is. Lots of good things happening in Winnett. And so we moved this historic building, and it's two stories. The second story is going to be housing. The first floor is going to be a visitor center and a business incubator space, and then also a public restroom and laundry facility. And we hold summer music jams there the first Saturday of the month over the summer, so anybody wants to come can come check it out. The building itself is still in construction, but when it's done, that's what it'll be. And we've just recently gotten funding from Red Ants Pants to help work on the building itself to get it finished. So that's kind of just a snippet of the things that we work on.
Yeah. And so I'm going to follow up, Sarah, when we think about revitalizing, you know, we always think of, well, I don't say always, but urban areas or, you know, development. I don't know that we have a lot of faith that we can revitalize our rural communities. And I think that's a false notion. And I think Winnett Aces and others out there have proved that. Talk about some of those grants that you see completing that mission, so to speak.
Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of the reason why we really focus on enriching rural communities is we, you know, the trickle-down effect, it dries up long before it reaches our small towns across Montana. There's certainly a lot of resources in the big six, the urban areas and whatnot, but the reality is we don't have a lot of resources and funding and programs to support. So that's why we really put our priority and our dollars in small towns across Montana. And just personally, I mean, I moved to White Sulphur, and it's a fantastic little town, and I think there's so much potential for small business, and it's the quality of life, lower cost of living. We still have all the same services that we need as far as healthcare and education and internet. You know, having high speed internet's a big deal, and a lot of us have really good fiber cable now. And so anything is possible out here, and I think it's really important to tell the good success stories as well as the challenging ones. And some of the grants this year, in addition to Winnett Aces, we're seeing a lot of demand for helping fund different summer gatherings. Like Shodo has their Get Your Kicks at 6 every week. So these kind of community gatherings where you bring in music and food trucks and that sort of thing. Forsyth, they just got a grant for that as well in their area. So bringing people together is a big one. And then certainly some beautification and historic building preservation work. But as we know, a lot of our towns, there's maybe a bar or two and not necessarily always a community center space that's family friendly and welcoming for everyone. And I think music and having a place, you know, like your classical, your barn dances, where we need more dance halls in all these towns just to bring people together to connect as neighbors. And it brings a lot in. It's been good to see.
Laura, can we revitalize rural America?
Oh, yes, we can. And, you know, the I think the reason that Winnet Aces is being, it has been successful so far, is that people want to come together. People want to do things. They want to do things for the benefit of their community, and they want to do it together. And we just kind of, we were just kind of the start, the trigger to make it possible for people to come together and do those things. And so our 55 Main project is a good example of, we've had over 75 volunteers work on the building or help raise money and put over 2,000 volunteer hours into that building. It's partly because they want to see a piece of the past continue on, but it's also part of that they like doing things together for the community, and they see the benefits that are going to come. And so it's not easy, and it's going to take a lot of work, but definitely there's a desire and ways to get it done.
Yeah, all real good, all real Montana stuff too. Laura, I appreciate that. You know, we're keeping our eye on you. You know that. And so you're always welcome to come back here and brag about what you're doing, but you're not the bragging type, I know. But you guys are doing good
stuff. Well, we joke about, we have a lot of things started. We need to get some of them finished. And when we finish 55 Main, I'll give you a call.
Okay, that sounds good. Thanks. thanks, and we'll talk to you down the road. You know, we're talking about How You Montana, the Red Ants Pants Festival. Certainly one of those ways in How You Montana, whether you're wandering through small towns like White Sulphur Springs or floating under Montana skies. Rodeo, big part. Plan your summer road trip right in your own backyard. Visit MT.com. I got to play this one because it's from the Red Ants Pants Festival's website. You got to go check it out, redantspantsfestival.com. But the website's just great with all kinds of music and information, and they've got their Live from the Back Pasture series, and this is Dodgy Mountain Man. I just love that title. Sarah Calhoun with us again. Sarah, just a couple of minutes to finish up here. Don't you love that title, by the way? I think I was born a Dodgy Mountain Man. I'm not sure, but it sounds like it fits me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's get the lay of the land. We got tickets. We got camping in White Sulphur Springs. The dates, July 25th through the 28th.
Yes, correct. Last weekend in July, the 25th through the 28th. So we've got a free street dance downtown on the 25th that is open to everyone. We do have shuttles running nonstop throughout the whole weekend from town out to the festival grounds, which is only about 3 miles outside of town. We have a huge campground on site. We try to keep all of our prices super affordable for everyone. We know that our money is hard to earn and easy to go out the door, so we try to make it very accessible for everyone. So camping is $45 for the entire per person, just for all 4 days.
That's really good.
Pretty darn affordable. We have super. You know, all the services on site, including showers. And it's just a short walk right into the festival grounds there. And a weekend pass is $175. So that's about half of what most of the other festivals in the state are.
Yeah.
So we try to, again, keep that accessible. Kids are 12 and under are free, always family friendly. We invite you to bring all of your families. We have a big kids tent with lots of educational and craft activities there, as well as a demonstration area where we profile a lot of different ag and traditional work skills like meat cutting and ranch roping and teams of horses and that sort of thing. We might have some sheep shearing this year, so lots of good ag skills demoed. And then of course all the wonderful music and then about 25 food vendors and all these wonderful Montana craft vendors. So it's really something for everyone. But again, we do cap attendance. We typically sell out at the gate, but tickets are still on sale. RedAntsPantsMusicFestival.com.
Nice. Good work. And thank you for doing this. I know you didn't expect it to turn out so big, but you'll take it, right?
Yes, we sure will. It's nice to be able to do things independently and raise money for a good cause.
Yep. Sarah, thank you so much. Not going this year, but I'll run into you there one of these days, okay?
Sounds good. Well, thanks for having us on. We appreciate it.
I appreciate that. July 25th is when it starts. Thanks again for joining us for the podcast. Please share and subscribe and let us know what you think. Email me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
And don't forget, we're on weekdays on your hometown radio stations all across Montana. We hope to hear from you there, too.